What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back with our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. It is week 10 in the National Football League. It got started off with a doozy last night as the Carolina Panthers take down the Atlanta Falcons by a score of 25-15. Hickey, I do a weekly appearance each and every Friday in football season on WFNZ, one of our great affiliates, with Mac and Bone. And I love those guys. They're great. They're funny. They are just tremendous personalities. Do you think they were happy or upset with the win last night? Because when you're winning, it does hurt your draft position. But as you know, as you've been a fan of a team that likes to lose a bunch, maybe not to the extent of the Carolina Panthers, you've been in that situation where when you win, yes, in the moment you may like it, but then big picture you're like, uh-oh, it's going to screw us in drafting a quarterback of the future.
I will say they were happy. They're not going to get sucked into the bad NFC South, and they were happy for the loss to get a quarterback.
Mac was happy that they won. When we get to some of the listening audience, I think they were split 50-50. Because when I came on, I said, are you guys even happy about that? Because you lose, and albeit, you know, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, which, right, they were the first and third quarterback taken. Now they're both backup quarterbacks in that Carolina Panthers locker room. Those were the top spots for the quarterbacks, and the quarterback that goes 7th overall and 32nd overall in that draft, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, ended up being better. So it's not an exact science, but if I was a Panthers fan, already getting rid of Christian McCaffrey, already, you know, having a coaching change, sure, you don't want to lose every game. You may not be miserable, but it is better to lose because you want to put yourself in a better position to get your choice on who that quarterback's going to be. Now, they're going to be picking probably in the top three anyway, so it probably doesn't matter. But I thought that there would be more negative fans than positive fans. And as the interview went on, they informed me that I was getting a lot of hate messages on the text line because I voiced that opinion that it may have been better if they would have lost last night.
I get fans are kind of split because even with the Colts fans now, they're starting to come split of whether they want to win or lose. It's a little too late for them. And
well,
obviously
because
the Panthers
you invest
are different.
Your time in a game. And when you invest your time in a game, it's still tough to sit on the couch emotionally and go, yeah, I want to see my team lose. Even though your brain's telling you it's probably better to lose.
Like, it's not easy. Like, I find myself getting mad when the Colts, you know, screw up. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, especially if you're with the Panthers, when you're that close and you have kind of a beeline to either that one or two spot where it could be a CJ Stroud or a Bryce Young or Hendon Hooker, like, you got to take it. You got to have that be your lifeline, especially when you've seen the quarterback shuffling since kind of Cam fell out of his prime.
It's also amazing, too, when you see the way that they were being talked about last night. And I brought this up, that it's going to be a rebuild on the offensive side of the ball. Not that this defense is the greatest defense I've ever seen, but you have a lot of young pieces. When you don't trade Brian Burns for two first-round picks, even though it would have been in not this draft, but the two after it, what the Rams are offering up, you have Burns. You have Derek Brown, who you drafted early out of Auburn a few years ago. You have J.C. Horn, who makes an interception in the game. I know there's some players that are also injured as well right now for the Carolina Panthers, like a Jeremy Chin, but you have some names on that defensive side of the ball where since you got a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth for Christian McCaffrey, and you have your original first-round pick, I'm not saying it's going to be a quick rebuild for the Carolina Panthers. That would be jackassery. You probably give a new coach first year, it's a wash, second year, improve, third year, then expect to go make the playoffs. But it's really the new coach coming in is going to have to put all of his attention to the offensive side of the ball. Not that you have to still figure out contracts and still get more talent defensive side of the ball, but they do have some nice foundational pieces on the defensive side.
And again, when your focus is an offense and you have the quickest way to a turnaround dangling in front of you, I get sure you can feel happy you beat the Falcons last night, and the Falcons did not look very good. It was a nice dominant win. Still, long game
here. What
was
Marcus Mariota, by the way, doing when he was falling down, wasn't even able to see his wide receiver, and he threw the ball?
It's lucky he was down.
He was lucky that he was down.
I don't know. That's desperation at its best, I guess. Like,
don't you got to play Desmond Ridder eventually? How bad is Desmond Ridder in practice if he can't get on the field?
Well, I think if you're Arthur Smith, I mean, fair or not, you're seeing they were tied for first place.
That is true.
Now, again, we both believe that's going to
fade. And Mariota has been fine. But I'm talking about when I make that statement. Yeah, that was not fair what I said. Let me take that back. And that's a very rare time that I'll ever say that. I was sitting around you too often. I got a few hot takes now brewing.
That is not how it works.
Yes, it is. You're very contagious. You know, you had a little bit of a cold last week. Now I'm dealing with a cold right now. You have some hot takes all the time. Now I have my one lone hot take. So you're right. In the moment, yes, Marcus Mariota should be starting. But where I think this is going, that the Falcons aren't as good as what they're actually playing, last 3-4 games of the season, I would think you got to go see what you have in Desmond Ridder.
Agreed.
Because that's a team that's also going to be potentially drafting for a quarterback, especially if these wins don't keep on coming the way that they were coming in the first half of the season. Anywho, that's probably the only 6 minutes we will really spend today talking about the Falcons and the Panthers game from last night, because it really doesn't deserve any more airtime than that. Hit the music. Let's get to the rest of Week 10. One thought on each game, Seattle and Tampa Bay. I want to see if last week was a little bit of a spark for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On paper, right now, and I can't believe I'm saying this with how these teams are positioned before the start of the year, I think the Seahawks are the better team right now. The Seahawks should win this game in Germany. With that being said, though, I want to see if getting a magical win last week in a game that they had no business of winning in Tampa Bay could get them on a win streak and get them moving back in the right direction. That's what I'm curious about.
This game is all about the run game. Kenneth Walker's been tremendous so far for the Seahawks, and the Buccaneers have just been absolutely awful trying to run the ball. And that's how I think if they're going to turn this season around, it's going to have to be with the run game. You can't be one-dimensional. You got to be able to get some sort of balance going, and it has to start against the Seahawks in this one.
Minnesota at Buffalo. Very simple thought. Earlier in the week, I would have thought there was no chance that Josh Allen was going to play. Then this week, or today, he's at practice later in the week. On Friday, he's spotted in practice, limited, questionable for the game. Media gets in, and he runs right off the field. That is someone that's in a jovial mood. That's starting to get me to think that he's going to play. I don't know that with 100% certainty. I probably wouldn't play him to begin with. But I want to know if Josh Allen's going to play, and I'm leaning 51% right now that he does play compared to that he's not playing because of that video that surfaced.
Obviously, Josh Allen's going to be the story for this one. Look, he should absolutely not play. If, for some reason, the Bills decide just screw logic, screw caution, we're going to play him, you got to take care of him. You can't allow him to run that much. You can't allow him to be taking seven-step drops. Max protect. You got to give him a chance to at least not get any extra hits, because he is your season. He goes down, you go down.
Detroit at Chicago. I know the Lions are coming off a nice victory up against the Green Bay Packers, but the Bears the last few weeks have really got a lot of good production and good play out of their quarterback in Justin Fields, even with all their moves on the defensive side of the ball, getting rid of Roquan Smith, getting rid of Robert Quinn as well. The last 3 weeks, though, they've only had one win, and that was a blowout win up against the Patriots. The last 2 weeks, Fields played well in a loss by 20 points to the Cowboys, and then a loss by 3 points to the Miami Dolphins. I want to see if Fields could play well this week and do what's expected out of him this week of winning the game. Because you're playing a Lions team that's not all that good. Their defense isn't good. I know their offense at one point was rated number one in the NFL this year, but I don't trust that offense. The Bears are the better team. The Bears should win the game. Now I want to see if they can continue some of this positive momentum that Justin Fields is building with a roster that's not all that good.
This is about the Lions defense. He had a nice, nice performance last week. 3 interceptions of Aaron Rodgers. He held him to 9 points. But they have been, outside of that game, one of the worst defenses in all the NFL. It's the biggest reason why they have, I think, have been a disappointment so far this season with some of the talent they have on the roster and not really equating to more than just 2 wins. Look, Aaron Glenn probably going to get his walking papers at the end of the year, if not before that. You have to replicate what you did last week against Justin Fields, especially when still, for how much better Justin Fields has been playing recently, it's still mostly been about the legs, not the arm.
I have no clue what you just said because Temple's playing Villanova. There's 9 seconds left. The Owls have not defeated Villanova since my freshman year of college. They have the ball with under 5 seconds to go. Oh! At the horn. Wait, was that a foul? Oh, it was. He missed the shot. I thought it was going to overtime. Now, I can't do play-by-play, so I'm not doing play-by-play. I'm just telling you what happens after the fact. And I'm going to assume that there's going to be a free throw attempt or two of them with 1.1 second remaining. How about that, Hickey? T for Temple, you, baby!
How bad is Villanova going to be this year? Sheesh.
Whoa!
Take the under in their win total, folks.
That is just a putrid Penn State fan.
Talking the truth, really.
Very Temple-like, though, to lose to Wagner to kick off the season, to tip off the season, and now maybe beat Villanova. So let's hope that Dunn can make the free throws and the Owls get a victory. You gave your thought on Detroit, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Denver at Tennessee. I can't believe I'm going to say this, Hickey. You know me, I've been so negative and realistic about the Denver Broncos throughout the year and even before the season started. It looks like Ryan Tannehill's come back for Tennessee. I actually think Denver's going to win this game this week. I think Russell Wilson is going to outshine Ryan Tannehill. And the big thought here is that very good Broncos defense up against Derrick Henry. And I think the Broncos defense will be able to do just enough.
This has to be about simplifying the offense if you're the Broncos. Too many times Russell Wilson's looking to take the deep shot, looking to hit the home run. You had the bye week. You had time off to reevaluate so far the offense and why it's been pretty brutal so far through the first 8 games of the season. You got to be able to take the short stuff, get the ball off fast. I want to see if there's actually real adjustments after the bye week, or is it just going to be same old, same old? If it's same old, same old, Nathaniel Hackett would not be around that much longer.
Next game, Jacksonville at Kansas City. I want to see if Jacksonville can keep this game close. I know Andy Reid and Doug Peterson clearly familiar with one another. Doug played under Andy and then coached under Andy. I want to see if Trevor Lawrence and company, they're not going to win, but can they keep it close? Can they make this like a 34-31, 27-23 type of game? That's what I want to see.
If you're the Chiefs, you cannot have this game be close. I know you won the game, but you're trailing the fourth quarter against the Titans, where their quarterback Malik Willis completed 5 passes in the game.
But it is tough to get up. I know that's an NFL game, but I think this is like one of those games that it's actually tough to get up for because you know you're going to win.
But if you're the Chiefs, like, God, I'm sorry, there's no excuse. You got to get up for it, especially too when you look at the Bills right now, kind of limping around. You can grab that number one seed and get home field advantage again and make Buffalo come to your building again. You got to take these games seriously.
Well, that's the biggest thing. If, let's say, Josh Allen doesn't play, and I think there's a chance he is going to play, and Case Keenum can't find a way to get a victory up against his old team in the Vikings, you could then get an advantage back against Buffalo with this win, which they'll win the game regardless, but you could pick up some ground because you already lost that game to Buffalo in Kansas City. It's a good point. Cleveland at Miami. Miami's been winning. Miami's been a great story with Tua Tagovailoa. This Browns team does nothing for me other than Nick Chubb when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. I want to see this week, because Miami's last few games, they won close against the Steelers 16-10. They won close against the Lions 31-27. They won close against the Bears 35-32. I want to see Miami blow out the Browns this weekend, and I think they will. That's my thought.
I want to see the Dolphins establish the run. Tua's been great so far this season. Tyreek Hill's been literally unguardable, already over 1,100 yards this season. But again, kind of talking about before the Buccaneers, you do need balance. Like, I think especially when you start to kind of look ahead as we're at the halfway point of what wins in the playoffs, you need balance to win in the playoffs. And right now the Dolphins, for how wide they've been playing and undefeated with Tua in there, it's a mostly one-sided throw in the ball. establish the run. You got Jeff Wilson Jr. pairing with his former teammate Raheem Mostert, and take advantage of a front that's definitely runnable on against the Browns.
Texans at the Giants. The Giants coaching staff has been praised over and over and over again this year. Deservedly so. The Giants are sitting at 6-3, and they're coming off that bye, and they've been a wonderful football team this year. For the Giants, coming off that loss to Seattle, I just want to see them take care of business and not have to sweat it out at the end. They should be able to do that against an inferior Texans team. I think I said 6-3. The Giants are the 6-2. But they're a 6-2 team. You're coming off a bye. I don't want to have to see the Giants sweat this one out. The thought is, have the coaching staff continue to do what this great coaching staff has done. I know they had to win a lot of close games this year, but blow out. Absolutely blow out the Texans. Don't make your fans sweat.
I'm watching Brandon Cooks this week. He's someone who's obviously disgruntled that he was not traded at the deadline. I guess he thought maybe before the season when he signed the extension he would get traded pretty quickly. He was not. He sat out the Eagles game last Thursday night because he's basically upset and thrown a temper tantrum that he wasn't traded. What's the buy-in going to be like? He did media availability earlier this week. He was kind of talking about his frustrations and, you know, whether he was lied to or thought he'd be traded, just didn't get done. I want to see truly, is he bought in? Is he going to be playing hard, or will we kind of see some more drama on the sidelines here the next few weeks?
By the way, so it looks like Temple's going to win the game. I thought they already won. They're up by 2. On the inbounds pass, it was Temple took it away, and then there was a foul. So Temple's going to the free throw line, and they're up by 2. But all the fans rushed the court because it looked like the game was over because Temple took the basketball away as the ball was thrown up in the air. All the fans stormed the court. They had to get the fans off the court. They put 0.2 seconds left back on the clock as Temple's up 66-64. That's crazy. All the fans stormed the court. They had to push the fans off the court because they needed 0.2 seconds back on the clock, right?
This game's at Temple?
I guess so.
Jeez. You're kind of lucky you didn't get like a foul, but honestly.
He said the game was over. Horn went off. It was over. Saints at the Steelers. Najee Harris has been struggling. Matt Canada's a terrible offensive coordinator. TJ Watt coming back. I just want to see the Steelers win this game. Like, honestly. The Saints do nothing for me. Jameis Winston should be their starting quarterback. It's going to continue to be Andy Dalton. I want to see if Kenny Pickett could just find a way to win with less this week against a team that's very beatable in the Saints, and you're at Pittsburgh.
I'm excited to see the return of TJ Watt. One of the best defenders in all of the NFL. Let's see what kind of juice or spark he can bring to right now a team that's not very good.
Colts at the Raiders. Is this the easiest one? I want to see if how much of an impact Jeff Saturday can make. Can they actually win a first half, and can Jeff Saturday do anything well as the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts? So I went with Jeff Saturday. I know who you're going to go with. Go ahead, Mr. McDaniels.
I can't wait to see Josh McDaniels in this game because it's... there's a lot of pressure on him. I know there's a lot of eyes and attention on Jeff Saturday. I would argue there's even more pressure on Josh McDaniels because you don't want to be the guy to lose to Jeff Saturday. You beat Jeff Saturday in the Colts, you're supposed to. You get no fine. It's not really a reward or a feather in your cap. You lose, dig in your own grave.
Could be Black Monday on Monday.
Yeah. Oh, seriously.
Dallas at Green Bay. Here's what I want to say. Cowboys win. Cowboys win by 14 points. And Mike McCarthy. This is very unlike me, by the way, going against the state of Wisconsin and picking the Dallas Cowboys. But I want to see Mike McCarthy get a Gatorade bath and get carried off the field by his offensive lineman.
I am in for that 100%. Can we please see Tony Pollard become the RB1 for the Cowboys?
Wow.
I don't understand it.
I'm with you.
It's the stupidest thing, I think, maybe in all the NFL.
I'm with you.
Between Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy,
yeah.
The running back coach said basically we don't want to play Tony Pollard more than 30% or 50% of the snaps because we're afraid of him, you know, wearing down.
How about the game where Zeke was hurt? The guy had like 14 carries for what, 3 touchdowns, like 100 something yards?
They don't want to run him, but anytime they get in the ball, something good happens. Why are we continually force feeding Zeke Elliott?
Contract.
He's not showing you he's really that dominant running back. Stupid.
Isn't it crazy we bring up this game? We both had Dallas Cowboys thoughts and no one even talked about the wide receivers for Green Bay that all supposedly hate Aaron Rodgers and how that's going to work out this week.
Imagine the first pass, like they bat it down, just like look at him. It would never happen, but that would be pretty cool.
Temple wins. They storm the court again, 68-64. Yeah, they really need those 0.2 seconds. Down goes Villanova.
Is Nova ranked?
Yeah, 16th.
Not bad.
First win against Nova since my freshman year of college. I was at the game.
Rams and Cardinals. I want to see who plays. We don't know if Stafford or Kyler Murray are going to play. So I'm curious who starts at quarterback for the Cardinals and the Rams.
I'm curious if anyone else besides Kyler Murray can kind of step up and lead this offense. This has been a brutal so far offense this year. Even DeAndre Hopkins returning.
I want to see a Hopkins touchdown pass this week. Show Kyler Murray how it's done after their fight.
Gee, I mean, this could get ugly quickly. Honestly, you're right, and it could get ugly fast here in Arizona.
Chargers at the 49ers. I want to see if the Chargers could win a game that they're probably not supposed to win. I don't like that they're 7-point dogs here. They're not going to have Keenan Allen. They're not going to have Mike Williams. 49ers are a better team, but it's time for Brandon Staley to win a game and find a way to get the job done in a spot where a team looks like they're better than you.
I want to see the Chargers run game. I think they are dead last or 31st in rushing attempts and rushing yards per game. There's no threat of a run whatsoever. And when you are so one-sided, it's easy to defend. They throw the ball a million times.
Oh, yeah, dump it off to Eckler all night long.
They do, but it gets stopped a lot.
Austin Eckler in primetime games, by the way, does phenomenal.
Not very good. So get some sort of balance going, please.
Commanders at the Eagles. What's your thought? You go first on this one.
Can we get some Heinicke magic?
Ham Heinicke.
If the Eagles were to lose the next like 5 weeks, I think it could be this game.
Really?
Just because it's one of those where you exactly right. No way.
Chase Young may be coming back.
Commanders stink. It could be one of those Heinicke pull it out of his rear end kind of games.
Jalen Hurts just got, here's my thought. Jalen Hurts is listening to the show right now. He just got the rat poison that he needed. Eagles gonna win by 20. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, NFL Picks with Jersey Jerry next.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports. Interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me. I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. A presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. It was always Zach Gelb and Jersey Jerry, but Zach just didn't know it.
Jerry in New Jersey. Jerry, what part of Jersey are you calling from?
I'm from North Jersey. I'm a blue-collar union guy.
And now they're friends.
Oh, the buddies for life, right?
It was always Jersey Jerry. It was always Zach Gelb.
This has never happened before. And I'm man enough to share it. I'm man enough.
And now it's time to respect their NFL picks. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Football Friday on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Time to get to the picks with Jersey Jerry. I have a 3-game lead, but it's really nothing to be proud about because the two of us have been moving like snails this year for this upcoming NFL season. We'll see if we can get hot down the stretch, but now joining us from Barstool Sports, of course, is Jersey Jerry. Jerry, how you been?
I'm okay. You know, Zach, I'm struggling football season so far, and I'm starting to think this might be the curse of Zach Gelb.
I do see signs for that. In the past, I heard that you were very good at picking games, and then the next thing you know, you go up against me, and you can't pick a game to save your life.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, Zach. I really don't. I'm starting to get worried doing this radio with the CBS right now.
Well, you got yourself into it, so you can only blame yourself.
Yes.
So what's your first pick? Go ahead.
All right, so I'll start off with my underdog play. And I've been doing pretty decent on these when I take the Steelers. The line was at 2.5, plus 2.5. It dropped down to 1.5. I'm going to stick with my gut. Mike Tomlin off the bye hasn't lost in 2016 or 17. I have to go with the Steelers this week. I really do. Coming off the bye, they should be hungry. They should be ready to go. T.J. Watt coming back, friend of the program. So give me the Steelers as my dog play.
Where's your confidence level that your guy Kenny Pickett is the guy?
I say about 55% right now.
A little bit lower than I would expect.
Yeah, you know, listen, I love Kenny. I really do. And I give him a pass because he's a rookie, one, and two, he got thrown into, like, a gauntlet of the schedule. I mean, teams like the Dolphins, the Eagles, I mean, those are tough teams. Those are tough teams to beat. Bills. So I give him a pass on that. Has he showed that he is the guy yet? No, not really. But, you know, we'll see what he can do down the stretch against a really, really weak schedule.
And he's not really being put in a position to succeed, especially with who's calling the plays. But what's going on with Najee Harris? Because that seems a little bit funky this year.
Yeah, Zach, let me explain something to you. This is why you don't draft a running back in the first round. I mean, listen, their offensive line hasn't been good in some years now. You know, you bring in Najee Harris, first-round pick. I thought it was a bit of a reach, and now it shows why. It shows why. And people say, like, listen, I was all for moving him at the deadline. People said I was crazy. But it's going to take some years to rebuild this offensive line. If Najee Harris looks like he does now, what do you think he's going to look like in 2, 3, 4 years when the offensive line gets rebuilt? I mean, I don't know, man. His stock is slowly, slowly, slowly decreasing.
So your first pick, you're going with the Steelers as an underdog. I'll give you my underdog pick as well right out of the gate. I'm going to take the Chargers. I know this spread seems a little bit bizarre that the 49ers are a 7-point favorite and the Chargers haven't really gotten my trust and respect yet this season. I think they keep it close, though, less than a touchdown. Give me the Chargers plus the 7. What's your next pick?
My next pick is going to be the 49ers.
Oh.
Going to be the 49ers, and here's why. I feel like over the last 2 weeks, this team is pretty much coming closer together. McCaffrey, I think he fits really well. Debo coming back. And, you know, the Chargers, they haven't, you know, this team is one of those teams where they get a pass year after year. And, you know, Justin Herbert gets a pass as well. Is he a good quarterback? I don't know. I'm not really buying into the Justin Herbert stock because he hasn't really proved anything to me. So I'm going to go with the 49ers. I think this game is going to be a rout.
Sean Payton then coaching them next year?
That would be smart if they were smart, yeah.
All right, pick number 2 for me. I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I know they've had some close games the last few weeks. They're playing the Browns. I know they have Nick Chubb, who's phenomenal. He's been great for me as a fantasy football running back this year. Dolphins at home, I just think they're going to be able to put up too many points. I like Miami laying the 3.5 points at home going up against Cleveland.
Nice. My last pick, I'm going to take another favorite, and I don't really like this, honestly, but I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to go with the Bears. I'm going to go with the Bears minus 2.5 against the Lions. Justin Fields has looked really, really good over the last 3, 4 weeks. Teams just can't seem to stop him when he has the football in his hands. Lions are a disaster. They're just a disaster. That coach will be fired at the end. So give me the Bears.
And I'm in agreement. I know we disagreed on one pick, but I'm in agreement on this one. I like the Bears as well. I had them circled, laying 2.5 points. Justin Fields, we talk about, right, Kenny Pickett giving you moments with not really a lot around him. That's what Justin Fields is doing the last few weeks.
Yeah, and I hope I get to see that on the back half of the year this year, Kenny Pickett. And I think he will start to show some signs of flashes going against these weaker teams. But, yes, if I was a Bears fan, I would be pretty excited with where I'm at. This year, for them, is like, okay, let's make sure we have the guy. And over the last 3 to 4 weeks, he's shown flashes of this guy can be the guy in Chicago.
So here are the picks for Week 10. Jersey Jerry is going with the Bears, laying 2.5 points. He's also taking the Steelers plus 1.5, and he loves the 49ers, laying 7. I will go with the Chargers plus the 7 points. I will take Miami, laying 3.5. And then the Bears minus 2.5 as well. Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports, appreciate the time as always. We'll do it again next week. And let's hope the curse is over and we can get some winners.
All right, Zach. I'll see you next week.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Gonzaga has completed the comeback. They overcame a double-digit second-half deficit as they did defeat Michigan State. Tom Izzo going up against Mark Few, Gonzaga and Michigan State. What a game that was. And as John Rothstein is tweeting out right now, this is only November, and he's 110% right. Hickey, what game are you bizarrely excited for this weekend in the NFL before we get to the closing bell?
Broncos-Titans. I'm not getting back on the bandwagon. But now after the bye week, I just want to see what this offense looks like. Can you please, please make some adjustments to get this offense rolling in the second half?
The game I'm most bizarrely excited for, Colts and Raiders. This game stinks. This game does not have a lot of offense. Waller, out. Renfro, out. You have Ellinger versus Carr, and really Taylor versus Adams. Really, Jonathan Taylor and Devontae Adams are the only two sexy names on the offensive side of the ball for either teams. And you then have Josh McDaniels, who seems like he's incompetent as a head coach, going up against Jeff Saturday, who was talking on ESPN a few days ago, and now he's the interim head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. That game has overtime written all over it. That game is going to be, now I'll give you the final score of that game. I think I said 23-20 earlier. I'm going to change that. This game's going to be, see, touchdown each side, field goal each side, two field goals each side. That game is 13 all going to overtime. And the Raiders win an OT, 16-13. If there's ever a game deserving of a tie in overtime, wouldn't that be Colts and Raiders hot take, Hickey?
No, should have been Colts Broncos about a few weeks ago. Both teams stunk.
Good point. Sensitive subject.
No one should have won that one.
This is a salty Colts fan.
And they won the game. Think about that. That's how ugly that game
I told
was.
You that night. I said that was a loss for you guys, even though you won the game.
I agree.
Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
I got to give a stock up to Jay Wright. December 2012 was the last time my Temple Owls defeated Villanova. Jay Wright retired this offseason, as you know. And now tonight you had Aaron McKee against Kyle Neptune. And Aaron McKee prevails and gets the Owls their first victory against Villanova, who's ranked 16th in the country for the first time since December of 2012. Jay Wright, thank you so much for retiring. Stock up. TJ Watt, coming on back, going to make his return this weekend. Steelers, Saints, good to have the NFL's reigning defensive player of the year back in TJ Watt. Give him a stock up. Now, Hickey, you're a big proponent of boneless wings, right? a.k.a. chicken nuggets.
Yes, boneless wings. Yes, sir.
You don't like the traditional wing, right?
I eat them. I prefer the boneless wing, though.
You know who you're going to make really upset?
Who is that?
Jason Kelce.
Uh-oh.
This is what Jason Kelce tweeted. And I'm reading this on the fly, so hopefully we don't have to use the dump button here. There is no such thing as a boneless wing. It's nonsense. Show me this boneless wing chickens. It's just clever marketing for people who are afraid to get their fingers dirty. Boneless chicken wings are just chicken meatballs fried and covered in sauce. That is the thoughts of one Jason Kelce. There's no such thing as boneless wings.
That's right. Still tastes the same, so I'll take it.
It does
it's
not
good.
Taste the same.
You can argue about what's a real wing or not. I'm not telling you boneless wings are real wings. I'm just telling you, I prefer boneless wings.
But they don't taste the same as a bone-in chicken wing.
Extremely similar, if not the same.
Oh, my God. Your taste buds need to be examined, and they need to be thrown out, and you need to be reissued new taste buds. Just horrible. You know, give yourself a stock down. Give Jason Kelce a stock up. Let's hear from Deontay Foreman. He says the entire NFL overlooked him.
Early in my career, just having ups and downs and injuries. And, you know, I just feel like people counted me out and just, you know, said that, you know, I couldn't do these things. And, you know, I just stayed focused, you know. It was tough at times, you know, like I mentioned before. But, you know, when you get an opportunity like this, you can't look back. You got to just go.
And Foreman last night in the Panthers, 25-15 win to get them 3-7 on the year. And the Falcons fall to 4-6. Deontay Foreman had 31 carries, 130 yards, and a rushing touchdown. Give him a stock up. Let's hear Joe Thomas earlier this morning. He will eventually be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He crushed the Indianapolis Colts on Good Morning Football for hiring Jeff Saturday.
It is one of the most disrespectful things I've ever seen in my entire life to the commitment, the lifestyle, and the experience that it takes to be an NFL coach, any coach, much less the head coach of the Indianapolis Football Colts. You have got to be kidding me that this is something that Jim Irsay and Jeff Saturday, who's not blameless for accepting the job, could have talked and decided that this was the best thing for the Indianapolis Colts at this juncture of the season. This is something that changes your life when you decide to be a coach. It's a different lifestyle because it's who you are. So the disrespect that NFL coaches have to feel when they saw that this hire was made is higher than almost anything I can ever possibly remember in the NFL. And then to defend the decision by saying, I'm happy that he doesn't have any experience.
He's not
because
scared.
He's not scared. Like, if you didn't already insult every person that's worked their entire life to be a head coach in the NFL, then to go up there and say, I like that he's got no experience because all y'all NFL coaches are scared because you use logic and analytics to make decisions. It was the most egregious thing I can ever remember happening in the NFL. And I went 1-31 my last 2 years in the NFL.
It's one of the most egregious things that have ever happened in the NFL. Don't get me wrong. No one's defending the Jeff Saturday hire. It's stupid. But it's not even close to the top 5 most egregious things to ever happen in the NFL. I get it. Everyone's up in arms about the Jeff Saturday hire. I don't like it. But this happened this morning, I'm pretty sure, this audio clip. Were this fired up about this though all these days later? Hickey, I don't know about you. And I don't think that. I think this game's going to be close. I don't think the Colts are going to win it. I would love to see the Colts win the game. And it would be so NFL the entire week. Everyone is killing the Colts, and they deserve it, to then see Jeff Saturday get the victory.
Even if they keep it closer, isn't that still like a win? Like, it shows like the guy knows what he's doing. It's kind of a stretch. But like, at least like has command in the locker room. Like, right, if we're sitting here in December, the Colts are, I don't know, 2-5. Isn't that still like a good job considering they're 3-5-1? Like, don't we have to walk back some of this Jeff Saturday stuff? Right? Like, he has success. Don't we have to all walk it back and people have to apologize?
No, that's not how this works.
No, I mean, they should. If you're slamming the hire and saying this is egregious and he, let's say he goes 4-4, 5-3.
That's
sure, you may not like
happen.
The process. I would agree. But you may not like the process, but Jeff Saturday's a good coach. He's a good coach. Like, well, you know.
Are you starting to believe in Jeff Saturday?
No, not at all. I'm more upset that people are just getting this frustrated with it.
Well, it's like any. I'm not saying it's like any other hire, but when a hire is made that's not popular, everyone slams it. Like, for example, totally different. This guy had a ton of experience. When Nick Sirianni got hired, no one knew who Nick Sirianni was. Now the guy could be the coach of the year at 8-0 in the NFL. Everyone slammed that hire. People in Philadelphia, Mike Lombardi said that Doug Peterson was the least qualified coach in the history of coaching hires. Doug Peterson ended up winning a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, this one's just different because this guy literally has no experience as a head coach. He was an analyst on TV. And this isn't like baseball where you could just do that. Like, the NFL's different. Now, don't get me wrong. I think a lot of the analysis is ridiculous to begin with. And Joe Thomas was like a little too serious. It seemed like he was about to cry. But I don't know if you're ever going to get an apology because this Colts roster is just not good. Like, does it even matter who you put in there?
No, but that's part of the point. It's like Jeff Saturday's not brought into, he's not getting a real opportunity. Just like if you promoted someone or hired Joe Thomas, whoever is a coach is not getting a real opportunity. You're coming in out of the blue for 8 games with a bad roster. And if you lose, you're not going to get another head coaching opportunity. So people bitching about some of, you know, the other coaches internally that, you know, deserve a look. If that coach goes 0-8, I can promise you right now, he's not going to get another head coaching opportunity. Fair or not.
In a weird way, it's almost a favor to the other coaches on the staff, even though it looks like it's a slap in the face, because this team's going to be bad.
Like, the more it's talked about, the more I think that's exactly right. I don't think that's what Jim Irsay's thinking.
No.
But it's like, if you're another coach, I think it's almost like a bullet dodged in a way.
How many wins do they get the rest of the year? Raiders, Eagles, Steelers, Dallas, Vikings, Chargers, Giants, and Texans.
Realistically, I'll say two. I think they go two or three. Six.
Okay. I'm giving a stock down, though, to Joe Thomas, saying that's one of the most egregious things ever happened in the NFL. And then, finally, the Atlanta Falcons. You had a chance to make this interesting. No one really is believing in that the Tampa Bay Bucks are this great team, but they still have that Tom Brady fella. And if Brady gets into the postseason, anything could happen. And last night, you lose to the Carolina Panthers and just get outclassed. Stock down to the Atlanta Falcons. And what was Marcus Mariota doing in that game? Now, Hickey, you know me. We could fade down the music here. Twitter is a cesspool. Our guy Cody in California, he thinks I'm balding, by the way. Now, I just got a really thin haircut. I got a fade. A skin fade. So Cody, since I just put out this video of me screaming like a maniac about Temple taking down Villanova for the first time since 2012, goes, bro, I love you, but it may be time to just come home and shave that head, only saying it because I care. I have a full head of hair if I want to. I had one right before my haircut. It's just a really short haircut that I got. So he thinks I'm balding. Any comment?
The C's might be retreating.
No. See, in the front, that's what happens when I get a very thin haircut.
I think that's where Cody's coming from.
You watch. In a few weeks, my hair will grow in, and you will say, wow, that's a full head of hair. I'm telling you, my grandfather on my mother's side had a full head of hair until he died in 95. I'm telling you, that happens all the time when I get a very, very thin haircut.
Just low tide after a fresh haircut?
It's just the way that it works. You'll see.
I have a widow's peak, but...
You saw me last week. My hair wasn't this thin. You didn't notice it.
Well, it's not, I wouldn't say thin. It's more about...
I'm telling you.
Where the hairline starts.
I'd be very honest with myself. I don't have a receding hairline. It's just the way that my hair gets cut. I know my hair. And I cut it a little bit too short this time. And my barber told me, hey, you don't want to do that. Usually going past your limits. And he was right. Talk to you next week, everybody. It's the Zach Gelb Show. Be back on Sunday for Iron Football. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports. Interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me. I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. A presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.